Hi everyone, welcome to Church Life, Church Online. Welcome to church in your home and in our home. We're back in the kitchen, back at the table. On Sunday mornings, when we normally meet together, we like to say welcome home because we think it's important for us to feel like we're part of a family. We feel like a place that we belong, it's a safe place. Welcome home really has a different feel today. When we say it, we're like here, like welcome into our home. And so I am honored to welcome you into our home today as we take this message about Easter to your home. So thank you for joining us. I pray you have a wonderful Easter day, and I'm looking forward to the message today. On behalf of our entire church staff, Harriet and I, we really want to wish you a happy Easter. Probably most appropriately, I think it would be Happy Resurrection Day. And so, Happy Resurrection Day. The Bible teaches us that early on Sunday morning, when Jesus was raised from death to life, three ladies went to the tomb. They were going there to anoint his body with spices and oils. When they got there, the stone that had sealed that tomb was rolled away, and they walked in, and they saw his body was gone, and suddenly an angel appeared before them. And so he said that to them, he said, "Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. He was crucified. He's not here. He is risen." Hey, that's great news for us today on Easter. Jesus is alive. The grave couldn't hold him, and death couldn't defeat him. That's great news. We have a Jesus who is our resurrected King. So happy Easter, happy Resurrection Day. So glad you're with us. I want to pray before I jump into my message. And so if you would, at your homes, wherever you are, maybe you're in your living room, maybe at your table, just take this moment and just open your heart up to the Lord. Let me just pray for us as we get started. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for Jesus who died on the cross for us, and today we celebrate a risen Christ from death to life. We thank you we have a resurrected King. Lord, I just pray over our church body. I pray for health. I pray for safety. I pray as we walk through these very unusual days with this coronavirus, God, that we would be supernaturally protected. I pray that we would walk in an increase in faith, God, that we would not be weak, but we would be trusting, we would be believing that you would help us through everything we're going through. And so, Lord, I just thank you for our church body. I thank you that we are able to gather, even if it is virtually, but we're gathered together. Lord, we love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, thanks for joining us. My sermon today, I just need to say that it was inspired from a blog post from a really good friend of ours. Her name is Susan Wetherill. And I just want to quote a few things that she said in the opening of her blog post that will kind of set the place for me to be able to take us into a message. And so she wrote this. She said, "I felt prompted by the Lord to look at the etymology of corona in light of coronavirus." And so she said, "I learned that corona came from the Latin word meaning crown." Now that'll be on your screen, but check that out. Corona, as in coronavirus, corona came from the Latin word meaning crown. She said, "I was struck with the coronavirus or the crown virus." She said, "I was struck that this coronavirus brings into question the issue of who or what reigns in my life. What sort of authority does this so-called crown virus have over me or my household? Because," she said, "crowns are a symbol of ruling, reigning, authority, preeminence, and kingship." Wow, that kind of blows my mind. First, just think about that. The coronavirus, the crown virus. This virus is basically ruling and reigning in our world right now. And we don't want it to rule and reign in our life. It is reigning and ruling life. I think it's important for me at this moment just to say to those that are in the medical field, doctors, and those that are helping in any way bring safety and health to us, how much I appreciate what they're doing. I have several friends who are doctors, and a few of them are actually in the area where they're testing people for the COVID-19. And I appreciate their courage to be in environments where they could be near around the potential virus. And I pray for them. I'm praying a hedge of protection over them. So grateful for their courage. And in my opinion, we've seen what real heroes really look like. They're not celebrities. They're actually medical doctors and scientists, and those are on the front lines. So thank God for you doctors. I love you. I also believe, though, the church has a role to play in this. And our role is through prayer. Our role is to dethrone the coronavirus through prayer. And that's what we do as a church. We pray. We believe that God will dethrone that virus and He will eradicate it. And so I love the church is stepping out and praying regularly. So with that thought, I want to jump into my message about crowns. Crowns. My sermon title today is The Crowning Moment. The Crowning Moment. The Crowning Moment. Maybe, and I'm sure you have, you've watched a beauty pageant, and you know they start with several days of different types of events throughout the beauty pageant, and it comes down to this one moment where they're going to crown one young lady as the winner of this pageant. And so there's a crowning moment when they place the crown on her head, and it's a beautiful moment for them. Today I want to talk about, though, Jesus's crowning moment. And in order to do this, we need to look at two crowns that Jesus wore. And the first crown is the crown of thorns. Now you can see this crown of thorns on the screen, a crown of thorns. This crown was placed on Jesus' head at the beginning of his crucifixion. And so from Matthew, we find the setting where Jesus has already been arrested, and he is now with some governing soldiers or Roman soldiers. And so out of Matthew 27, it tells us about this crown of thorns. It says that some of the governor soldiers took Jesus into their headquarters, and they called out the entire regiment. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. It says they wove thorn branches into a crown and put it on his head. And they placed a reed stick in his right hand as a scepter. And then it says they knelt before him in mockery and they taunted, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him and they grabbed the stick and they struck him in the head. When they're finally tired of mocking him, they took off the robe, put on his own clothes on him again, and then they led him away to be crucified. The Roman soldiers did not put that crown of thorns on his head to honor him. They did it to mock him. They chose a vine that had large thorns in it, and they tied that into something that resembled a crown. You know, a crown is supposed to be beautiful and ornate, but they took something that was super ugly and the lowliest of vines, something that would cause pain, and they used a crown of thorns to mock Jesus. Interestingly, the crown of thorns, they meant to mock Jesus, but unknowingly, they actually gave us a symbol of hope. Let me teach you why. Back in the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned, they brought evil and a curse upon the entire world. So when they sinned, there was a punishment for their sin, and part of that punishment was evil and this curse that was placed upon all of mankind. We read in Genesis 3:17, it says, "Cursed is the ground because of you." Because of this sin, there was a curse that was placed on our world. It says, "Through painful toil, you will eat food all the days of your life." Verse 18 says, "It, being that curse, will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field." Thorns represent the curse or the punishment for sin. Thorns represent that curse or the punishment of sins. So the Roman soldiers literally placed upon Jesus' head a crown of thorns that represented the curse of sin. And then Jesus carried the punishment of our sins to the cross. They thought they were mocking him with his crown of thorns. It was actually a moment of God to show us the grace of Jesus Christ. That crown of thorns represents the punishment of our sins, and then Jesus carried that to the cross. I was kind of just looking at that crown of thorns a little bit and just kind of pondering it, and I noticed that there were numbers of thorns on it. There wasn't just one thorn. And my thought from that was that Jesus has forgiven me of all my sins. He didn't just forgive one sin and say, good luck with the rest. He didn't just forgive one sin and then I have to go back and keep begging for mercy. He has forgiven all of my sins, the ones in the past, the ones today. And he's already, through the cross, forgiven all the sins that are in front of me. And Jesus carried my sins to the cross. I was thinking about the tips of those thorns that were pressed into Jesus' scalp. And if those thorns represent sin, the sin in my life, and those thorns pressed in the scalp, then they caused blood to come from his scalp. In other words, the tips of those thorns were covered by Jesus' blood. In reality, if I can just take a moment and just pause, I placed those thorns upon Jesus. I placed that crown of thorns on his head. And let me explain why. Because Jesus died for my sins. It wasn't just those Roman soldiers. He died for my sins. Do you remember when we've studied even last week about how in the Old Covenant, the Israelites had to pay for their sins? And what they did is they transferred their sin into a lamb. And the way they did it is they would place their hands on a lamb, and then they would say something like this. They would say, I'm guilty of my sin. Now look, they would place their hands on that lamb and they would say, I'm guilty of my sin and I'm transferring my guilt into this lamb to be slaughtered for my punishment. So they'd transfer that into that lamb and that lamb would then go and take the punishment for them. Those Roman soldiers took the sin of the world and they placed it on his head. Literally, that is me in my sins, placing my sin on Jesus' head, transferring my sin into him for him to carry it to the cross for me. Honestly, that kind of just pauses me, just causes a jolt inside of me. My hands placed the crown of thorns on his head. Those were my hands. Those were my sins on the cross. Jesus wore the first crown, the crown of thorns, and he did it for us. If you're taking notes, you can just write this down. The crown of thorns shows me that all of my sins are forgiven through Jesus. The crown of thorns. How do you think the Roman soldiers would have acted if they had believed that Jesus really was the Son of God? I mean, if they'd known that, if they'd believed that he was the Son of God, would it have been different? Would they have acted differently? Of course they would have. They would not have mocked Jesus when they knelt. They would have bowed before him. And so we learn that the first crown of thorns was the first crown he wore. Now I want to take you to the second crown that Jesus wore, and it was a crown of gold. A crown of gold. This is a crown that's fit for a king. Jesus, he is the one that wears the gold crown. Let me show you in Hebrews chapter 2, 9. It says, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, now crowned with glory and honor. Let me just read this and explain it. We see Jesus, who died. He was lower than the angels. He came and he suffered for us. But it says now, after the resurrection, he is crowned with glory and honor. Jesus, who died, now resurrected back to life, crowned with glory and honor. The book of Revelation, chapter 14:14 says, then I saw a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was someone like the Son of Man, and he had a gold crown on his head. Jesus, he wears the gold crown today. The gold crown of glory represents his kingship. Only Jesus is worthy to wear the crown. Why is that? Only Jesus carried our sins to the cross and died for us. He's the only one that could do that. He wore the crown of thorns for us to the grave, to the cross. Only Jesus could do that. But it was only Jesus who was raised to life. You see, this, in my opinion, was the coronation. This was that crowning moment. I believe that when Jesus wore the crown of thorns to the grave, and then on Sunday morning, on Resurrection Sunday, this was like the crowning moment. I believe Jesus took that crown of thorns off his head, and I believe God crowned him with this golden crown to represent the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. This was his moment of coronation and being crowned. He was risen back to life, victory over death, victory over the grave itself. In that victory, Jesus took back all authority and now reigns as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I like how 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says it. It says in verse 20 and 27, it says, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, for he has put everything under his feet. He's been raised from the dead, and everything is now under his feet. No demon, no crown virus, no fear can be raised up past the sole of his feet. Not even Satan himself can come past the soles of Jesus' feet. The enemy is defeated. The crown of gold means that Jesus reigns over all. Jesus reigns over all. The Roman soldiers, they bowed in mockery because they didn't believe that Jesus reigns over all. In Revelation chapter 4, it gives us a contrast to that. And let me read this out of Revelation chapter 4. It says, whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him who sits on the throne. And what do? They worship him. So different. The soldiers mocked him. But those who know him as the king, one that sits on the throne, they worship him. And they said, he is the one who lives forever and ever. And it says something really interesting. They laid their crowns before the throne and they say, you are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, and power. The soldiers mocked him. But those who believe in Jesus, those that believe that Easter Sunday, that we celebrate a risen Christ, all of those like myself who believe what the scripture said he is risen. All of us who believe that, we see him as crowned as our king, our risen king. He wears the gold crown today. And that's why we worship him. He's the only one worthy to wear that crown. There will be people today that refuse to believe in Jesus. There'll even be some people that will mock Jesus. There'll be people that mock you for believing in Jesus. And that's okay, because regardless of what the world does, even so, I will worship him all the more, because I know him to be my Christ, the King of my life. And like those that were around the throne that day, I want to lay down my crown and worship him. But what does it mean to lay down our crowns? What was the Bible talking about with this? What was their crown? Well, this is what I believe it meant. I believe the crown that they laid down is the crown of their allegiance. Their crown of their allegiance. What they were saying is God, I surrender my life to you. They were at the throne that day. They took off everything that they would say was their accomplishments, everything that they thought brought value from what they did, their worth of their work, their efforts, and they laid all of that down and said, God, I surrender my life to you. It just feels good to even say that. Maybe at your homes right now, you can just say it with me. Say, God, I surrender my life to you. God, I surrender my life to you. So I have one last thought before I pray and close out this message, and it's really powerful. When I lay down my crown before God, he gives me a better crown. When I lay down my crown before God, he gives me a better crown. You see, God gave Jesus a better crown, and he wants to give you a better crown too. In the book of James, it says this, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." To those who love him. The crown of life is given to those who love Jesus. That's a better crown, the crown of life. That's better than anything that I've accomplished. I would rather have someone, listen, I'd rather have the crown of life than have someone say to me, "Now, you're the best pastor ever. I appreciate that, but that's just kind of an accomplishment of mine." And that doesn't even measure to the crown that God, the crown of life. I would rather have the crown of life than to have built a successful business. I would rather have the crown of life than fame or wealth or the approval of any people. It's the crown of life. Only in Jesus do we find everlasting, abundant life. Only in Jesus do we have peace from the storms and comfort from the Holy Spirit. Only through Jesus do we have power to overcome the enemy and actually even find our meaning in this life here. I want the crown of life. God gives us a better crown. When you lay your life down, when you lay your crown down, God gives you the crown of life. And let me remind you, who is this crown of life for? The crown of life comes to those who love God with their whole hearts, even through difficulties. Your crowning moment is the moment you surrender your life to God, and he crowns you with the crown of life. That's your crowning moment. Have you had a crowning moment? Have you had a moment where you said, "God, I surrender my life to you"? As we are here on Easter Sunday celebrating that Jesus is risen from the dead, from death to life. He wore the crown of thorns for you, and then he rose to put on the crown of victory, the crown of gold. And now he's ready to crown you with the crown of life. And our job, our role is just to say, "God, I surrender my life to you. I just can't do it on my own. All the efforts that I have, I can't create peace on my own," especially in this time of this virus where we're struggling to keep our fear away. It's a great time to say, "God, I need you. I need you more than anything else." Do you love God with your whole heart? Have you ever laid your life down before God? Well, I want to give you an opportunity to have your crowning moment today. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, would you do that with me today? I'm going to pray this real short prayer, and I'm just going to invite you to say it with me. Would you bow your heads and just go with me? Dear God, thank you for Jesus. I believe he carried my sin to the cross, and all of my sins are forgiven. I believe Jesus was raised from death to life, and today I choose to surrender my life to him. Thank you for my salvation. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Well, if you prayed that prayer today, would you let us know by putting it in the chat? We want to be able to pray for you and follow up. And I just want to wish everyone a happy Resurrection Day. And I'm so glad that we serve a Jesus who had two crowns. One of the crowns paid for our sins. The other crown was Jesus in victory, and he's able to crown us with the crown of life. Church, I love you. I'm honored to be your pastor. God bless you. Happy Easter.